Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Tech Sideline High Tech Studios in Blacksburg, Virginia, it's Monday, February 5th, 2024, and this is TSL Today. We hope you enjoy our audio format of TSL Today as we focus on a quick and easy news update on everything Hokie sports for your commute home. I'm your host, Carter Hill, and today we'll sit down with managing editor David Cunningham to talk all things Tech men's and women's hoops, including the men's head scratcher against Miami, the women's exhilarating victory in Chapel Hill, and the overall positioning of both squads. That's all coming up next on TSL Today. This episode of TSL Today is brought to you by The Hokie Way. The Hokie Way supports student-athletes in leveraging their name, image, and likeness to amplify the mission of charitable organizations as a way to give back to the community. Your contributions to The Hokie Way support Hokies NIL, are tax deductibles. Visit thehokieway.org to learn more. All right, now let's bring in our managing editor, David Cunningham, to talk all things Tech men's and women's basketball. And David, first off, welcome back to Blacksburg. We'll start on the men's side of things. Unfortunately, and the Hokies kind of let one get away on Saturday, if you will. 82-74 loss to Miami down in Coral Gables. And I guess my question is kind of, how do you digest this one?
I think it kind of describes where Virginia Tech's season is at. Tech lost by 8. Tech was the better team, I think, especially for the majority of the game. And Tech let Miami score 56 points in the second half and turned the ball over too much. And, with 5 minutes left, Virginia Tech was leading big. Not big, but I guess by 5. And got outscored pretty handily the rest of the way. It was 65-60 at that point. Tech scored 9 points. Miami scored 22. Like, you can't turn the ball over as much as Tech did. You got to play better defense than that. Just all in all, not a good way to end the game. I mean, Tech played well, I think, for about 35 minutes. Miami made that late run, and the Hokies, I think the game got tied up. Miami took the lead. Tech kind of came back with a 6-0 run, led by 5. And it was like, oh, Virginia Tech might be okay. And then Tech turned the ball over 3 times in 39 seconds, and the game rolled right to Miami. And that's a game Virginia Tech desperately needed. And now you look at this team, don't really have – I mean, they've got a quadrant one opportunity at North Carolina. They got a quadrant one opportunity, hopefully, at Pitt. That's if Pitt stays in the top 75. But that's not many opportunities to write your schedule and turn it around.
Yeah, I was going to say, to kind of add on to your point, I thought Tech was the better team for probably 32 minutes or so on Saturday, 30 to 32 minutes. And to your point, Tech was up 10 in this one with about 10 or 11 minutes left to go, and Miami proceeded to go on 2 separate big-time runs, a 15-2 run and a 13-2 run, and that's certainly not going to win you ball games. Free throws, turnovers also killed Tech in this one, 7 of 14 from the line, and it's kind of the first time this year that the free throws have really hurt the Hokies, came in second best nationally in free throw percentage, and then you mentioned 11 turnovers as well. So, yeah. Missed opportunity, like you said, for Virginia Tech. They go 0-2 in quad one opportunities this past week, losses to Duke and Miami. And you look around the schedule, and I just don't know how many more opportunities there are left to boost the Hokies' resume.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, Virginia Tech is, I believe, has Tech is 5-6 in the ACC, so has 9 games left. I mean, Tech could go, Tech goes 9-0, like, then we're talking about something. But unless you beat Carolina in the Dean Dome, it's going to be really, really hard to to get to have a good enough resume. And that's the problem here. Tech had those resume opportunities, didn't take advantage of them against Duke in Blacksburg. That was a close game at halftime. Didn't take advantage of it down in Miami. That was a 6-point game. Tech led at halftime. I think the last couple minutes to kind of describe Tech's season, everything that kind of could go wrong in a way did. Tech didn't shoot free throws well, like you said. Tech got out rebounded 36-28. Tech turned the ball over too much. I mean, it didn't matter that Tech shot 50% in the second half. It couldn't stop Miami a lot of times either. That's back-to-back games against teams that you need to beat, where at some point in the second half, the other team is shooting really, really good. Really, really well, I should say. They're like, Duke shot 75% in the second half at one point and then kind of fell off towards the end. Miami ended up shooting 56% and was pretty good for the majority of the half. You gotta put it all together, and you talk about the road that lies ahead. It's a little worrying because like they don't have wiggle room at all. Like Tech's going to be behind the eight ball from here on out. And if you're a Virginia Tech fan, you're probably sitting there going, "What, we got to beat Carolina?" Like,
yeah,
the road now is not impossible. Because again, if Tech wins 9 straight games, but even that team in 2022, which won a handful in a row and then lost, and I mean, I think that team finished,
I think 9 of 11.
Does that sound right? That team finished 9-2, I think.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous. And okay, well, you've got 9 games left. I mean, even if you finish 7-2, you got to win the right games. And that team didn't even end up making the NCAA. It wouldn't have made the NCAA tournament if it didn't win the ACC championship. So just really tough position. This is a game that Virginia Tech had to win, especially after what happened against Duke, and it didn't.
Yeah, it kind of felt like the Hokies at least had to split last week. Like, if you go 1-1, you know, it's still a tough task, but that's doable. You know, you have a quad one win now, another quad one win, I should say, on your resume. You've beaten one of the more upper echelon teams, particularly a Duke. I thought Andy Bitter wrote a really good story after that game saying that other than that Carolina game coming up, I mean, the name brand still matters, so to say. So there's not really another team where you look at and you're like, oh, if Virginia Tech beats them, okay, I can see why that would be a big plus come tournament time. And other than Carolina, there's not really that. To your point, still some opportunities, zero margin for error in the 2 Notre Dame games and the trip to Louisville, but we'll see. Uphill climb, Hokies have done it before, but we'll see how things shake out.
Yeah, while you mentioned that, like, if you look at Virginia Tech's next 9 games, Tech has a week off and it's at Notre Dame this week, Florida State at home, Carolina on the road, Virginia at home, Pitt on the road, Syracuse on the road, Wake Forest at home, Louisville on the road, Notre Dame at home. Like, you gotta beat Notre Dame twice and Louisville once. That would put Tech at 16-9, 8-6 in the ACC, with 6 other games remaining. Well, you've got those aren't tough. Florida State beat you in Tallahassee earlier this year. Tech probably should have won. And this is where we get down to, like, all of these. You played well and didn't win. Virginia Tech played pretty well for 30-something minutes against Florida State and didn't win. Tech could have beaten. Tech did not shoot well enough. But like, Tech's got UVA at home. UVA's playing better now. Pitt's playing better. Pitt's one of the hottest teams in the ACC. Now, okay, are you going to go up and win at Syracuse, right? Like, you know, this team could easily go 6-3, but they could also go 2-7. Over the next couple games. It just kind of depends. Like, and it's going to be they're going to have to take every game one at a time, and they put themselves in a bad position because now they're more relying on they basically have to treat every single game like it's a last. And that's unfortunate because it's like this is a team where, you know, Tech, you look back to the start of ACC play, got blown out at Wake Forest, lost a game it probably should have won against Florida State, lost a game it probably should have won against Miami. Well, that's, you know, the difference between starting 3-2 and 2-3 makes a whole world of a difference. Or even 4-1 versus 3-2. Tech was lucky, I think, to get that NC State win and two games a couple weeks ago against Boston College and Georgia Tech. But, like, again, I think those 8 minutes, those final 8 minutes described whether or not Virginia Tech was an NCAA tournament team. And I think the answer is clearly no, even though it's had good stretches of basketball this year.
Yeah. I mean, I could see 7-2 down the stretch, but again, with who's on the schedule, you just don't know. You really don't. So we'll see how things shake out. On the flip side of things, women's hoops, this is a happier conversation if you're a Virginia Tech fan. Taking down number 24 North Carolina yesterday in Chapel Hill, 70-61 in overtime. It's Tech's fifth straight win. Hokies are clicking, and it's impressive yesterday's win for a lot of different reasons, just because it wasn't necessarily the prettiest performance.
I thought yesterday's win for Virginia Tech epitomized what it takes to get into the NCAA tournament and to be a team that can make a deep run. A lot of times, yes, you want to be playing your best basketball in March, but there are some times where hiccups come along the way and you have to win ugly games. Virginia Tech won an ugly game yesterday. It was not pretty by any means. Tech shot 34%. But Tech also held Carolina to shoot 32%. And I thought Virginia Tech was the better team for the entire game. I think UNC's a okay team, but one of those teams that's kind of middle of the pack of the ACC. And that's a big win for Tech because, like, yes, it's important to win on the road. But most importantly, I think it keeps you in the ACC, in the hunt for an ACC title. Tech is sitting here in lone, you know, all by itself in second place right now. And to be able to, you're leading at halftime, Carolina makes a run, you kind of brace yourself for it, you don't shoot well, and you still find a way to win. I mean, Tech was, while Carolina was 7-14 in the third, Tech was 4-19. 50% to 21%. And Tech kind of buckled down. Tech's defense was outstanding. Even if Courtney Banghart says that's not what Virginia Tech does defensively.
That was wild.
she's like, that's not what Virginia Tech does defensively. Defense isn't what Virginia Tech does. It's like, okay, I ran the numbers this morning. Tech is 26th in the country in field goal percentage defense. That's third in the ACC. Tech is a very good defensive team, and Courtney Banghart is full of it.
Well, no, you're saying it how
I mean,
it is.
She,
I mean,
and this is a tangent, but it's got to the point where she's complained. She complained after the Carolina lost at NC State.
Yeah, about the small gym.
About the Reynolds Coliseum is the best atmosphere in the ACC. Like, she said something yesterday about Castle's seats 11,000.
And how it probably wouldn't be full because of that?
Castle's seats about 8,900, and I guarantee you it'll be a sellout for that game because it's the final home game in the regular season for Eliz Kitley and Kayla King and potentially Georgia Amor. But just for Virginia Tech to play defense the way it did, Lexi Donarski and Alyssa Usby shot 5 of 11 each. Donarski's points all came in the first half. Usby only had 10. Donarski had 12. Tech shut everybody else down. Maria Gakdang, the big inside presence, she was 1 of 6. Deja Kelly had 26 points on 6 of 24 shooting. You know, she shot 14 free throws, and she gets the line second most in the country behind Caitlin Clark. But the way Virginia Tech defended, like, again, people are going to look at this and go, oh, okay, well, Virginia Tech's an okay defensive team, doesn't really force many turnovers. Doesn't matter. Tech did every, like, it's funny because we were just talking about everything that could go wrong for the men kind of did. Everything that the women needed to do to win, it did.
Yeah.
They did. Like, they rebounded UNC 52-40. In the second half, it was 31-19. They grabbed 18 offensive rebounds and had 20 second chance points. Tech only had 6 points in the paint.
and won and put up 70 points. Yep. Like,
it got to a point yesterday, and you were there as well, Carter. I thought Virginia Tech was by far the better team and was playing good enough defense to win. It was just a matter of when Tech was going to hit its shots. And it hit, it got some big contributions. Obviously, Georgia Amor had 21-11. But Matilda Eck, I think, was the player of the game. She had really, really good defense. She had a season-high 8 rebounds. She had 14 points, hit 4 big three-pointers. I think all of them came in the second half. Like, Tech had to come together and get a win. This is the second straight top 25 road game Tech has won where it's had to overcome something. At Syracuse, it was Elizabeth Gitley not shooting well. This game, it was the team not shooting well as a whole. And to be able to continue to stay locked in and play good defense, I thought Elizabeth Gitley talked about it really well, like explained it well. You got to have a short-term memory. And I think Virginia Tech showed why it is so dangerous. Like, even if it is not scoring at a high clip, man, it plays good defense. I think Virginia Tech played about as good a defense as it could have, outside of fouling Deja Kelly too much. Like, and now you're set alone in second place in the ACC. If NC State beats Louisville on Monday night, you are in first place of the ACC before you go to Reynolds Coliseum on Thursday. That's how big this win is. Virginia Tech loses it. Well, then Tech's a little bit behind the eight ball more. Now Tech controls its own destiny. And I mean, Tech goes down and wins in Reynolds. Like, this is a team that, and again, I know from the box score, and I kind of wrote this, like, this win looks very, very ugly. This team, it looks, people are probably looking at the score going, you only shot 34%? But it's what you do when you're not scoring that wins you basketball games. Virginia Tech defended and rebounded and did all of the little things needed to do that. I thought Clara Strack and Carly Wenzel, I mean, they were good. Kayla King was good. Like, across the board, it was a really, really good effort.
Well, the game in Chapel Hill last year was ugly too, where Kitley hit the buzzer beater. I think Tech shot sub of 35% in that game as well, and they beat Carolina at the buzzer. Just to kind of expand upon your point about the defense a little bit, Carolina was also 1 of 8 in overtime.
Yeah.
12.5%. You're going to win a lot of games when you do that. And on top of that, about Matilda Eck, we were talking about it on Press Row. She started 0 for 3 from 3. Both Kayla King and Matilda Eck started 0 for 8. Eck hits 4 threes, 2 in overtime, and I agree. I think she was the difference.
Yeah, I just went and looked. Both teams shot better than 40% last year in Carmichael.
My fault.
But in Blacksburg, Tech only shot 38% and won. I'm looking at the stats. Yeah,
I just remember it was an ugly game offensively.
Tech was 6 of 20 last year.
Okay.
In Carmichael, from 3. So
okay.
That's probably what you're remembering.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you need your players to step up. Georgia Amor and Elizabeth Kitley were a combined 13 of 42. Again, everybody did not shoot the ball well, except for Matilda Eck and Carly Wenzel and Claire Strack. I mean, like Strack had one basket, made it. Wenzel had 2-3 shots. She made 2 of them, both three-pointers. And then Matilda Eck, she was clutch when Virginia Tech needed it. If you're going to be a good team, you have to get contributions from everybody. I thought Eck was great on the glass. I thought Olivia Sumiel was great on the glass. Like, when I think back about the game yesterday, Virginia Tech just made all the little plays. Whether it was a loose ball in the corner that Olivia Sumiel dives on the floor to save, which she passes to Kayla King. All of a sudden, the ball's outletted up to Georgia Amor, who finds Matilda Eck, and it's a transition 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3 free points right there. That Tech probably shouldn't have had the ball, but Tech scores there. Who knows what happens if Georgia Amor doesn't take that charge at the end of regulation? Like,
yeah, I mean, they're inbounding the ball at half court.
Again, now that was the, like, a game like this, I think, goes a long way because, I mean, Tech has won the last 5 against Carolina. UNC's a little bit of a thorn in Tech's side. Just that, like, these games are always close. And to be able to not necessarily play well offensively, and win by 9 in overtime, it shows that you wanted it more and that you did more of the little stuff. And like to out-rebound them by 12, I mean, Tech has been outstanding on the boards lately. Like this was a big win. I think Kenny Brooks said it really well. Like, this is a win that's going to propel us forward, because there's a lot you can take from this. It shows that even if you're not necessarily playing well, you can still win basketball games.
Quietly, 9-2 in the ACC. And I say quietly because I think some people kind of forget about that a little bit. Because Virginia Tech has been so good in years past, they've never been 9-2 in the ACC. So I think some people kind of forget about that a little bit.
What was Tech last year through 9 games?
Through 11 games, you mean?
Through 11 games, yes. Do you know off the top of your head? Because I can.
Oh, they lost to Miami and Clemson, so they were. That's two losses,
Tech
right there.
Tech was 7-4 last year.
7-4. There you go.
Through 11 games. 2 years ago, Tech was 8-3 through 11 games, and that was the best record through 11 games before yesterday.
Don't take it for granted.
To be 9-2, like that is something that's pretty ridiculous. And Tech's two losses are both on the road. And now, again, NC State's a big one Thursday.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I thought Tech was the better team yesterday, start to finish. Just kind of always felt like the Hokies responded when they needed to, even when Carolina tied it at the end of regulation. And the rest is history. So, David, no men's basketball this week. Women's basketball is in Raleigh. What's kind of the content plan the rest of the week?
Yeah, I think I'm going to write a women's basketball column tomorrow on Tuesday. And write a preview on Wednesday. I'll be down in Raleigh on Thursday. The men are at Notre Dame on Saturday. I was debating. I might write a men's basketball thing, but I'll also talk to Chris because I think Chris might write some basketball stuff. I know there's some stuff on the football side that is going to be coming out over the next couple days. Yeah, very interesting week. The men are off and the women play once on Thursday. So it might be a little quieter than normal, but you got to remember everything else is ramping up now too. Virginia Tech wrestling is 2-0 in the ACC after demolishing Virginia. Tech, I believe, has Duke in the Moss Arts Center this Saturday.
Friday.
This weekend, Jack Riz and I will have us covered there. Virginia Tech softball starts the season on Friday. In Auburn, Alabama, the combination of Chip Grubb and Sam Mostow will have us covered there. We'll have more baseball coverage this week as well from Raza Umarani. Pronounced right? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. People might look at this and go, oh, David, you might get to relax this week. It's like, well, we got to edit all this different stuff because between wrestling and baseball and softball, it's going to get hectic and don't discount football, and I've got to write my own stuff too. So there's a lot going on, but I'm stoked, man. I think Thursday's game, if I expect NC State to beat Louisville, I don't think Louisville's necessarily played the most difficult schedule yet. I want to say Louisville beat Syracuse. Louisville beats Syracuse once and plays Syracuse again and plays Notre Dame in the final game. Still has Notre Dame to play twice. So Louisville's played Miami and Duke and Pitt and Wake and Clemson and North Carolina and BC and Syracuse. Bunch of teams that are in the mid to bottom of the ACC. This is the real test for Louisville tonight. I'm going to watch it 7:00 on ESPN2. I'm very stoked to watch it. If NC State beats Louisville, which I expect because I think NC State's on a roll right now, you got number one versus number two in the ACC. Now, NC State and Louisville will be tied, but on Thursday night in Reynolds. And that atmosphere is going to be ridiculous. And Virginia Tech won there last year for the first time ever. If Virginia Tech wins that, I mean, it'll be a more than a game, almost two games, I think, ahead of everybody else in the conference. Like, this is when it really, really matters right here. And that's why Sunday's game at UNC was so important. And if you're Virginia Tech, you're feeling really good right now. Obviously could have played much better, but to be able to not play that well and come out with a win. I think, again, that shows you that you are a good team and you're in a good position heading into this part of the season. I mean, only 7 games left and 4 of them are Q1. So Tech's got quite a chance to boost the resume.
No doubt about it. David, as always, we appreciate your time.
Thanks.
That's David Cunningham. I'm Carter Hill. And that was your Monday installment of TSL Today.